guess we're going to get started. So we'll bring this meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect Coleman to present with the exception of Vice Chair Graves.
Okay. Welcome to public comments, but seeing no public or closed public comments, go to approve the minutes. I was not at that meeting, so I can't vote on that one. It's the rest of the staff capable of approving the minutes.
I don't have the minutes before me, but I've seen the minutes and I approve them.
Okay. And we'll move to view on discussion items related to replacing section of sewer line on Wayfair Court.
Well, you want to start? Yeah.
Well, remember last time you were like, is this an emergency? Is this not an emergency? You know, we need to treat it like an emergency and let's see what's going on. So, Virgil has done some exploratory excavations. Bernie has tracked down the videos of the sewer line. And he's kind of give up their sort of interpretation of what's going on so that you guys can be okay.
Well, and I didn't have time to bring some pictures, and I think maybe at the next meeting I'll bring video and show it to you, but you can see the pipe is crestated over where the flow is flowing fine. The issue is that we can't go in and do a thorough cleaning of it because if we do, we don't want to collapse the pipe because it's just nothing but rust. So I think we can move it from emergency basis and maybe look at it as a CIP project. But I think that as a whole, we maybe want to look at it as a committee.
Yeah. So Virgil took a piece of pipe out, dig it up, right? And the pipe where he cut it out was still structurally okay, however, showing a lot of age and a lot of rust. Bernie's videos show, a lot of deterioration, but it's still in one piece at the moment. And it wasn't any indication like the dirty cave in, and there's no roof on the pipe like the Cherry Hills. So we don't think it's an absolute emergency that we run out of pipe. Because I was concerned about going into winter. If we have a sinkhole, if we have penetration of pipe, the soil can go into the pipe, and we can create a sinkhole without a problem. Based on the video I watched Bernie this morning, it doesn't look like we have that problem, but it does look like we have a definite replacement problem. We need to replace the pipe. Now, it doesn't have to be an emergency. I think that we can put it on the CIP if we want to do it next year. We can still do it this year, but we don't need a fire drill around it. We can plan a little bit more about it. If we need a budget specific year, we can probably be more passionate about it.
Based on what you're seeing, there's 12 to 18 months worth of life left.
Yeah, I mean, we could do it next year. We could do it next summer. If trying to get it done now would be problematic, because right at the end of summer, if we can design, we need a winter before we got it in place. We could plan for it next year. We could talk to Dina about how the funds are coming, how we're going to pay for it, and if we want to be strategic about when it's funded, like after 21st or something, we could do that.
Yeah, I think it was, from my standpoint, Kevin Fields, but if it's got enough life to last another 12 to 18 months, then I think we should plan it as a normal process so we can get the benefit of the best possible.
However
we need to do that, but we don't.
So, I apologize for being a couple minutes late, you guys. So, the situation is that it's not the emergency that we thought it was?
Yeah, so before we had the video, we were concerned that the lower part of Cherry Hills, the top of the pipe was missing. And so soil was falling into the sewer and getting taken away. And so that's how you create a sinkhole. That's how the pipe. And our concern is that we were so bad last year that we haven't had a problem this year going in winter, we're creating a risk in that pipe. But Virgil cut out a piece of the pipe and we looked at the cross section of it. And then Bernie got the videos all the way up and down the pipeline. And I watched those this morning with Bernie.
So they're not. It's not collapsing.
And so it's not collapsing, but clearly it's in tough shape. But the roof's still on it. Nothing's coming through the top of the pipe. The camera was able to troll all the way down the middle, but it went.
Which tells us that it's relatively low. I mean, it's.
Yes.
Because before you couldn't get a camera down there, right?
You know,
us like the last meeting we were talking about.
Well, that's our concern is that you can see the crustacean and rust building.
Yeah. at the transition points between
we might not be able to get a cleaning all down there and get back out because it's likely to get hung up on something. Because you can see it's fairly flat, and where the water is flowing, it's pretty smooth, but it's where it's exposed.
Yeah, so like the very bottom circle of pipe is smooth because it's always underwater. So it's got about 3 inches of water flowing in all the time, and into that bottom 3 inches, it's smooth enough for the tractor to roll down. But on the side, it's getting corrosive growth
on the sides, and it's closing down, constricting
so
the pipe.
The ducts of iron, when corrosion expands, and you get these bubbles, and then you get more rust, and more rust and stuff. So it definitely needs to be replaced, but I don't think it's we have to do a fire drill.
Well, I think I agree with Bill. I think that's really good news because we were looking at some drastic solutions. We were in kind of a little bit of an emergency mode at the last meeting, and we don't have to jump through hoops. We can plan this thing out properly. We know we're going to have problems with homeowners as we have to make this procedure. So it gives us time to plan it better, to find the best route to do it. So I'm glad to hear that.
And also, it really shows shooting up through the state house. Laterals in, and their pipe is PVC, and it's fine.
Wait, is there any repercussions with the steakhouse or their pipe coming across?
That's what I'm talking about. Their pipe is fine.
Okay, fine. PVC. Good. All right.
And then the other good news is, at least looking at the PVC sections, they were concerned we had to replace the PVC sections. They're looking okay. So really, it is just the ductile iron.
Well, it's much newer too, though, right?
What's that?
That PVC section is much newer, though.
They were putting it at the same time. I don't know why they did some DI and some PVC, but the same set of drawings show two different materials.
Yeah, you can go down the video, you can see this duct the line off, rusted over, and it gets all clear with PVC.
So there was always a sewer line that ran west from the end of Cherry Hills over to where the old bar used to be?
Yeah.
That's the same old sewer line that's been there for 30 years?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
So our recommendation, and really it's more about financing and planning, we could put out a plan set in the spring of next year and bid to start construction after July 1st, for instance, if we wanted it in the next fiscal year, or we could just start in the summer next year. But I would not try to rush now and get in the winter and have to get straight up with the
American. And I think we're there's an agreement with that. So once staff has a chance to kind of put it on the list and talk about where we're at, bring it back.
Good, I'm really happy it's out of emergency mode then.
Yeah, I'm thinking that
it's probably 6 weeks.
Adina, we have some money in the budget this year to do the design, correct?
Actually, we had $250 in the budget to do this. So.
And I'm thinking the cost may be lower because we were up to potentially $350 there. Cost may be lower because there's more PVC pipe than we originally thought as well, correct?
I think we have about the same amount of PVC, but I think the cost would go up because we could bid. We could put some drawings out and get a couple of bids related to the project. So I think
a little better price.
That would probably help best to control.
Does this mitigate some of the issues we have with the homeowners, or are those still going to be the same issues? Okay.
So we got to block off the driveway. Okay. We got to get people in and around.
Well, it gives staff time enough to think about the process of how we want to stage it, then we can get early notice to the homeowners so they know it's coming.
Wow.
Instead of just show up on Monday.
Yeah, no, right.
You
know, because it's an emergency.
I noticed that you may need to kind of get the water meter, but you notice that neighborhood and say, okay, guys, we got to come to the street up. It's blocking your driveways when you come to this.
So, all right.
We also have to turn off the water. Between the manholes, we can pump from one to the top to the bottom, but between those manholes, we're working on that pipe, that water has to be turned off. So.
All right, well, you guys handle it.
Bill, let me know if this is a good suggestion. I would suggest that we put this on a regular board meeting as an informational item just to get it out in the public at this point.
Yeah, we can bring it up a report.
Either that or through the general manager report or something like that. At least get it on in the board meeting out there that people may pay attention to. So if they come back and say, why didn't you let us know about this 6 months ago? We go, well, as soon as we knew about it, we talked about it.
Let's do a presentation.
Just a brief.
Future board meeting presentation again. Thank you.
5-minute deal with it.
Not even.
I'm thinking we get the all completed and we start the
just
project.
Just get on
you know, we just get it out the bid in the spring for a project beginning, first of the next fiscal year. Be done with it.
For the track map that I have here that shows you what type of pipes are in there, the first 27 feet leaving my manhole going to the statehouse is DEC. The rest of the 200 some odd feet is Duck Meyer. So Mike needs to be aware of that because probably the crusting in his pipes, although we don't send a camera, but quite a lateral, is probably crusting as well.
Question being a good neighbor, what would be the charge for Bioli to go up that line just to see what his ductile iron portion of it looks like?
Well, I mean, people don't do laterals or liability. If you go up and down, it's not going to be responsible for it.
Well, I think we need to talk to him. He needs to be made aware.
Yes.
I send another letter to him telling him that.
Well, if he wants to have a camera, we could do it. Or he could hire his own.
He could hire his own. But my fear is, gentlemen, is that pathway, if you know there's a lake on one side, there are vital waters on both sides of that launch strip going from the steakhouse to the first couple of homes right there on the way to the airport. And if there was a break and leak, it's going to contaminate those two bodies of water, which then is going to flow through the dock.
Okay, well, I think that he needs to be made aware that we're putting the project together.
Who owns that?
And he needs to know that if he wants to partner with this project and possibly lower his cost, he needs to be prepared to do it. When we're doing it, we do it all together. But we can't take responsibility, so it's up to him to get himself to the point of making a decision.
Well, we should know this. Let's put it this way. His ductile iron is going to be the exact same shape as ours. There's no way that I installed them. So.
Well, you can tell him about the letter, but he needs to verify
it. Yeah, he needs to verify it. That's exactly right. You know, and he's right, because if he can blame us, let's put it this way. If we touch it, and he can blame us, it's not a fun fix, like Bert says. Digging that pipe out along the water line.
Between the two,
that's not going to be a fun fix for anybody. Just going to be careful.
Who owns that sewer pipe from the shopping center to Wayfair Court?
He does.
It's his. We own it once it hits the street. At the first manhole, we own it.
Yeah, we own it.
Okay. Yeah. He needs to be brought in there?
He's got to be brought
in. The first 27 feet. From that manhole going up to the PVC, that's all we can Bernie said, and that more likely took it to the curb of the
court.
And then now ductile iron runs between two homes under the fence line.
So he inherited that sewer pipe when he bought that property from the old William Hoffman used to own it then. Okay. All right. Just so I understand, because Mike's a friend too. He's probably going to come to me, and we're going to have to have a conversation about this.
Now, the one thing that is this, he doesn't have laterals on his pipe. You know, we have laterals.
Right.
That is a lateral.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, he just has one piece of pipe all the way over to us. Right.
Right.
So he probably would not dig it up. He probably would have somebody pipe first it and sleeve in a new pipe right there.
That's
place.
What I was thinking.
Just force a pipe through there and crack the old one and replace it, right?
Yeah. So for him, it's going to be a different kind of construction than for us. It would be a lot more cost effective for him to pipe first and slide the pipe in place.
Didn't we do that?
What
stops
us is we have all these laterals. Every 15 feet, you've got another lateral. So, you know, you don't get any mileage out of the pipe first.
Give him a couple of thought processes.
One of the videos we've seen has a lateral 2 hours and a foot and a half apart.
So, because of all our laterals, it doesn't make sure it's a pipe break. So, you have to dig down and be connected to one of those anyway. So you've already done that the whole street. But just straight on.
I'm going back 3 or 4 years when we did Discovery Point. Didn't we pipe burst that?
We did.
But every lateral we had to stop and dig a hole. Every two houses we had to dig a hole because we had laterals coming off of it.
Right.
So, it was kind of a little less effective way to. I mean, it was a good way to do it, but it would be much more effective in this application.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I think we're clear. We'll bring him in on a discussion and get him up to speed. All right. We'll wake PLC update.
All right, so last time we met, at the last committee meeting, Telstar was still working to resolve some radio issues, and so we presented that to the committee last time. The update on that is they were able to resolve whatever issues they were having, and now the radios are communicating. They're essentially now at the point of just walking through and finalizing everything on the site. So they're about 95% done with the programming. We met on Tuesday just to have kind of a discussion. It was the end of the day on Tuesday with the programmer, with the Telstar project manager, and Veolia, the electrical engineer, all parties involved, to discuss, well, what was it that went on? What was the fix? And ultimately, we want Telstar to put something in writing so that they can pull it out exactly what activities took place during that startup period, because it was much more time than anybody had thought that they should be out there for that. And the town wants to embark on Ethernet conversions at other sites, so we want to really get a handle on what was the issue and what was the fix. But right now, they're essentially, I'd say, 95% done with the programming. We did a thorough walkthrough today of all the functionality of the programming. Unfortunately, there still is some stuff they had to fix. Throughout the last 8 weeks of troubleshooting, we haven't really been able to do a full thorough walkthrough of the system, so we were waiting until this moment, until we had full communication with the SCADA system. And so that's kind of where the project's at. In terms of what they said were some of the contributing factors for what Telstar says was it was a combination of packaging data, figuring out how to most efficiently put data into packages and send it out at intervals to the master SCADA station, and figuring out how to get ignition to work optimally with the radio network, and synchronizing the polling rates of the radios. So. Then there was two, and all of those to me sound like, well, that's just the scope of work of somebody integrating a radio system. What's so unique about this? Why is that so different? Then there was two other factors. One was early on, when they were having the troubleshooting issues, they thought there was a compatibility problem between the PLC and the radio, the brands, the models, and so. When they were at high up on the chain of command from the radio manufacturer, they were told, well, there's a special update that they need to go put on all of these PLCs, and they had to go around to Station F, Station G, and then also the Willow Lake and the Wells and do this firmware update. And so they said that was a contributing factor, though. When they went and did that, we didn't see it was still not working, right? The other factor was we had specified a second radio, two radios at Willow Lake, and on day one they hadn't put in that second radio. And when they were scrambling around to troubleshoot this issue, we made note of that hey, there's supposed to be another radio at this site, one to receive information from our satellite wells and one to send information, and they kept dismissing that as, well, these radios should be able to be compatible to do both. They kept dismissing, and it wasn't until week six of troubleshooting that they put in the second radio, and they said actually it did improve communication, but it still didn't fix the issue. So it was a combination of events. From our perspective, what we saw change in the last couple of weeks was they brought on the programmer that was originally assigned to this project. I don't know exactly how much work that programmer did on site, because I wasn't there. I want to get an idea of how often he visited the site, but it may not be neither here nor there, but I really want to put all the pieces together. And from my perspective, they took this programmer off, Suresh, when he was on medical leave. And from day one, when we went to the factory acceptance testing, there were issues. It was a failure to perform, to demonstrate at the factory. We had to visit the factory three more times until they got the programming correct. Then they come to do a startup where they installed the PLCs, configured the radios, and from day one, not working. And it wasn't until from connecting the dots, it appears that this programmer played a role in addressing the issue too. So what I've asked Telstar to do is just give us a write-up of everything that went on so that we, and I want to debrief with you, Greg, on this, so we could just see how this may affect the path moving forward or not, or lessons learned, or how do we address this in the future. Within the specs or whatever it is. So we kind of still need to grapple with what was it that took place.
But at this point today, the radio system's working, so at least we're out of those.
Is that the lift station's too current?
Yeah.
So F is still having problems.
Oh, F is still having problems.
It's, but it's not... It's what I what so
F all around the corner.
So, but what I want to know is what was the history with F prior to this, right? Was there ever any communication problem at all? Okay, because when they talk about the antenna at F being only 12 feet high and not having really a good line of sight, I would have to ask them what are the impedances or what are the gains or the issues in terms of radio signal strength from that site, but so if F's not working optimally, then maybe we're not out of weeds. You know, maybe there still is something that needs to be done for this system.
Well, and they're saying moving forward, nothing else is going to work on the radio system.
But oh, is that what they said? They didn't say that.
Well, I'm sure they didn't. Just hearing them talk, they're just trying to get done with this and move on. They don't think the radio is going to handle any more traffic.
Well, so that's a problem because is our next step going to be to do a radio survey and get a separate, third party in here to determine what's going on with this network and this issue? Did Suresh go and visit Station F and look at what?
That was kind of Pat calling to decide.
Yeah.
Because he's never been a component of any of our work anyway.
Right. Now, I feel like when TAC talks, he's more talking to protect Telstar and his their liability on this, not so much trying to get to the heart of the issue or anything like that. So,
how far over the completion date are they? Weren't they supposed to be done by X date or something?
They were supposed to be done by May 31st.
Right.
So they're beyond the calendar date of their contract.
Right. Do we have a penalty clause?
There's a penalty clause on that, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I guess at this point we can decide if there's merit to proceed with that. And for sure, if Telstar decides they want to try to make some sort of a claim, that's going to be the first counter to that. That amongst a whole host of other things. But I wasn't sure if that was the direction the town actually wanted to go, so try to,
Well, I don't say we want to pull the trigger at the moment, but
yeah.
I think what we need to do is fire a shot over the bow and say, hey, board and its committee are getting very frustrated. They started to bring up
right
liquidated
damage.
Yes,
right. And so you got. I want to give you a heads up.
Right.
To get going and get it solved before they blow up over there and tell us to do something.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, with the repackaging of data off of the SCADA system, off of what's the SCADA system?
What's that? Oh, Ignition.
Ignition.
Yeah.
They reprogram work done by other people. So
right.
We have to be very careful. We have to be a little bit careful.
That's right.
Because it's not as simple as they were just late.
Right.
You can question if you had the right programmers on it and some stuff like that. But they clearly did some things that would not normally be in their scope if they had been running a mission.
And I would agree with that. There's clearly
so
things.
So we're gonna have to wade through and really see.
So there's some reason of it's reasonable that they may be a little behind schedule because of some of the other things they had to do. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm saying so.
Well, and it's not black and white. It's not clear as to what they were doing on the SCADA system was in or
sure,
out.
Sure, not
of
clear
the
to me. It's as clear as mud to me what you guys are talking about here. I'm just baffled that we can't that nobody's willing to complete the project.
Right.
I think we're getting.
Right, I think
let me ask this question.
Doesn't sound
do
like
they
it.
Have somebody on this 5 days a week, 8 hours a day?
Did they have somebody on this 5 days a week, 8 hours a day? Within the first few weeks, I think they did.
Well, no, I mean today.
No.
So,
oh, no.
Why not?
Well, they moved on to the project. They just here and everything.
How much do we owe?
About $26,000.
And don't be surprised if they ask for more because of all this extra time they've spent.
At the moment,
but
I had a conversation. I mean, maybe he had a conversation.
They did the project.
I don't think they're there. I think they're ready to just say, let's finish and move on. Initially they were asking for more money.
Yes.
I shut them down on that.
When he was starting to talk, I felt like he was trying to build a case for asking for money. And I told him, hey, if this is where you're going with that, you need to put something down in writing.
and I'm not going to issue you a final payment until you tell me you have no claims or no issues with this contract.
Who is their biggest competitor? Tell us.
The biggest competitor?
Well, Tesco and Myers. Myers has kind of gotten weaker lately.
Primex, right? You know, now they're Primex.
You know, there are some things. One of the problems is we struggle with integrators.
Yeah.
And Telstra's done a better job than most, by the way. You know, they've done a nice job at the treatment plant.
Right.
You know,
maybe you guys should wait.
I think they've done a nice job, and I think,
you know, and they've done a better job.
Okay, do we have?
I don't want this on the friggin'.
Cascade is good on the programming, but they're not really come down on site hardware guys because they don't work.
Right. Well,
my head's going to explode.
Okay.
Yeah. So, do you collectively feel that this is going to fall off of our discussion items pretty quickly here? That we're going to get to the point where we don't have to talk about this at every meeting?
I think it probably...
And is it going to work? Not because you don't bring it back, not because we don't want to hear about it, but because it's actually fixed.
I think that the issue that remains is Station F and whether we would accept the project.
It's been accurate with Station F.
Whether we would accept the project.
We have access to it.
Collectively, whether we would accept the project, with there potentially being some impact that the project created to an existing station.
I'll talk to Frank.
Okay.
But I would think it's more than that. Correct me if I'm wrong. We have other projects to do. And those may not communicate with what currently works now.
Well, that's part of the aftermath, I think. Like, it's not so much if they can demonstrate that they've made the system work on the radio network, and they could tell us what went on and what the issues were, you know, we may have to discuss what those issues were separate from their contract to say, do we want to embark on some other kind of radio surveyor study to determine if there's other upgrades or network programming that needs to take place. But if they can demonstrate that they've completed their scope, their contract, that they brought the system online and it's functioning, I don't think that.
Well, let me ask this: the original radio study that advised us—it's before my time, so I'm going on hearsay. That original radio study said, this is what we need, this is the way to go, and that was with the big picture in mind.
Yeah.
So they put it in, it's their system, it's their study, it's all on them, there's nothing else coming in that interfered with that, with another branding or proprietary system to break that chain, if you will. And so now we have a limited system, and they say, well, you know what? You know, that's all we had the contract for. That's what I'm concerned about.
Let's verify if we, quote, still have a limited system. Let's verify that. Also, we're talking TAC. When the original radio setting was done, it was before we did the ignition upgrade.
Yeah.
Ignition does address differently.
Yeah.
Okay. And so there have been some changes to the system from the original radio survey that the town did independent of Telstar. So I don't think it's all raining great doom right now, but you know, obviously our project is about to come online. We've asked for a report to clarify, you know, what's happened so that we can move forward.
Right.
So I think between Dustin and myself and Telstar, you know, we'll be able to better assess in a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, what is the plan for how we move forward with the other radio conversions. And until we at least get to that point, I don't think we can say it didn't work or it's not going to work.
And I think we should be specific about what information we want from them in that report. So far, I've just asked them to list out what activities took place to establish radio communications, as general as that. But I'd like to know, well, what were the initial radio strength signals, or what adjustments were made to the antennas? What are, you know, what kind of, you know, more objective information that we might be able to get from that report? But, I mean, I have a suspicion that there's more of, like, having the right programmer, having the right qualified person. I don't think we'll get that from their report. So somehow I want to try to get to the bottom of, you know, if this was purely just somebody didn't understand how to integrate an Ethernet network in an ignition system with an Allen Bradley because they just didn't have the experience of that, then it might be more of a, it might not be an issue with the hardware, the network, the direction we're going.
Yeah,
it's more just an issue.
It was a project issue, not a system issue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, yeah, it was a project issue. It was, you know, making sure we're, you know, I think in retrospect, when they pulled that programmer off the job, the project probably should have been on hold until the right programmer was put back on the job. Because that's a key person in completing it. A BLC scale project. And so, but, you know, it's like it's Telstar, it's the company, it's the organization that's standing behind this product, not Suresh, you know. So, anyway, I just have a suspicion that is more
well,
these are newer modules
and
systems.
We'll finish the project.
Right.
Right? So you finish your walkthrough,
right.
Finish up the last little things.
Right.
And by the way, it's working pretty good right now.
Yeah. Communications are smooth. They've added features to the program that weren't necessarily required, but just because they've had so much time out there to talk to the operators, that's just by nature of them being out there so long.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's working pretty good.
All right. So, you know, yes, I think it'll come off the radar.
Within 2 weeks.
While we resolve how we plan out our future.
Yeah.
Well,
no, because we're going to have to talk about the next projects. I mean, I think we're going to have to, once we resolve what happened here, we're going to have to, yeah.
Well, I agree. We need to talk about what's going down the road.
Right.
Make sure what they've done will integrate into what we're
doing. Right, yeah.
If we just stay focused on this particular project, do you think within 2 weeks you'll have all this stuff done?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I think they'll be able to complete their programming within a couple of weeks.
All right. And next question. I know, Violi, we have a programmer assigned to us now. How is his knowledge about this kind of stuff? Is that a whole different realm?
It's pretty good. The issue we've just been stepping back and really want fingers pointed at us.
Right, I understand. But so our staff can come in and kind of monitor this stuff once we've accepted the project.
Yeah, once we get Telstar out of there, we can go in and.
Okay, so we've got.
Well, the benefit is that your grant order has been hand in hand with Telstar the whole way.
Yeah.
And so if he's A, become aware of the problems, and B, he's seen what the fix is. So I think it's
going to be. We know the way on the
problem. So our guy's been sitting there watching over their shoulder.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this isn't new to you guys anyway. It's the same system you're using in a lot of your different.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I agree in the analysis. They've got the wrong program. All right, we'll move on.
Some continuity or something.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Water meter project update.
All right, I just have a couple of handouts.
Yeah.
Just take one and pass it. I hope there's enough. Project is at as of July 14th, and essentially they've completed their first pass through phases 1 through 7, and they've installed nearly 3,000 meters complete of the 3,500 that the district set out to install, estimated 3,500, and we've been have a list on the table that you see. There's a couple of items. Mainly, I just wanted to point out the total column, which is that we have about 22,940 completed, and we've been accumulating the list of skipped installations, which is basically items that were skipped either because they were concrete and they decided to do all the concrete at the end of the project. That's what we call a type 3. Or if there was some other issue on the site that prevented them from doing the installation the first go around, and that's what we call a difficult installation. And we have about 450 or so of those skipped installations. So between the 2,940 and the 450, there's a total sites of about 3,400, and they're currently working on the phase 5 So not all of phase five is shown in these totals. So by the end of the project, we'll be at about 30, pretty close to 3,500. So that initial estimate was close to the mark. So I didn't look at a percentage, but you know, we're 80-90% completed with the project. Next week or the week following, they will be done with the blue top,
blue roof condos.
They'll be done with the blue roof condos and moving into the skip to type threes. We just had a meeting before this meeting, a meter project workshop with the contractor, with the district staff. Carl Wolf is with me today. Carl Wolf is an engineer with Ludorf and Scalmanini. He's been with us for 30 years.
A couple of days.
Right. Longer. Yeah. Okay. So, Carl's been working on the project as well, kind of overseeing the inspectors and contractor, and so. I just wanted to introduce you to him because we just had this meeting just before this committee meeting to kind of plan and organize for what the time frame, the flow of work, all that stuff for these skipped installations that are about to take place. So there's a lot of coordination that has to take place on those because it involves communication with homeowners where there might be some problematic matter on the site, or the concrete houses are all getting a special letter. And there's even some special circumstances on the concrete where there might be working with the homeowner because they want something specifically done.
Color the stamp or something like that. Aggregate.
So we're at the point now where we're about to send out another batch of letters to the residents.
While I'm thinking about it,
yeah.
I feel we were pretty firm. If you've got colored concrete, you want colored concrete to go back in, that's homeowner responsibility. We're just putting in gray.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. It's still the same way. We're just putting in gray, and that's what the letter says. If what we're opening it up to is if they don't want gray, they can do something else on their own.
Right. And so that just is a coordination issue.
It's quite a bit of a coordination issue, but that's all it is. There isn't we're not having JW do that. No. As of now, that hasn't really been one of the
options. Well, on something like that, wouldn't we just go in, cut it open, put the box in there, and then backfill
with rock
just
or something.
Some crushed granite or something. And that way they can dig it out and recolor it.
That's the idea. And the concern that the contractor had was, well, if they say they want to do that and we walk away from the site with an incomplete installation,
ours would be complete once that crushed gravel is put around the edges and it's tamped down.
And it's
a letter they sign off on.
Exactly, they would have to sign off on that, and that's what we're saying. Is if they want to do something themselves, they have to sign off.
Right.
Maybe
what happened to that one instance over there?
That go away yet?
The one
not by operational law yet. I think he still has time to follow.
He hasn't done it. There's been no progress. It might just go away.
Okay.
For clarification, nice letter I received. It's written. But since the blue roof condos are just being done in phase five, and that work started just this week, I'm on the roll. Those homes are on the rolls until December then. Because it was after July 1st. So I did read the letter correctly. Oh, and then to monitor your water usage, you just have to go on the website and put in create an account and a password.
Once you have your meter woken up, which you won't get, because then it will automatically.
Thought mine was already awake.
Yeah. Is it already awake, Virgil?
Which one?
Mine?
My
specific one?
That
one I believe is.
Okay, then you go on
iOnWater,
and then you log in with your account information, and you can see what's my
account. You see Willow,
and
should be good.
Yeah,
it will
help you, but it's usually under.
Oh, yeah,
because
we don't
want to
do
that.
Okay.
So
you
see
okay.
Your
water,
but
you have your account information, you go on iOnWater site.
Okay, very good. My wife was asking.
Do
you use
a
lot of water?
make him go take showers at the mom's house.
At the gym.
That too. On Thursdays, on Tuesdays.
Okay, so update, we're moving along pretty well.
Pretty good. I was going to just make a mention of costs real quick.
We're sitting down.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of... There's been a two separate costs for tracking funds, right? There's the meter project, which is related to the homeowner's installation. So whether they were a type 1 or 2 or 3. And in some circumstances, there's issues that take place on a site that was as a result of something the homeowner may have done to obstruct the access to the meter box that creates extra costs for the contractor. And we're tracking those. And those... That's been one set of numbers. I would call those the resident costs, the meter project costs, essentially. Then there's another set of things that are happening that relate with the district infrastructure. And that's when we have failures of an AMS valve or a manifold, something that once it's from the AMS valve back towards the main line, that's all district-owned. So if there's any failure of that side of the system that needs to be repaired, we have to go and make the repair in order to complete the meter.
Right.
And so there are leaks or failed valves. And what we found, approximately about 10% of the houses that we've done work on have needed a new valve, needed a new AMS valve or a new manifold. And a manifold is, in fact, two valves, two houses. And the average cost for those has ranged, well, the costs have ranged from maybe $700 to $1,400, but the average is around $1,000.
And there's no matter if it's a manifold or a valve?
It's time and material. So it's not a predetermined cost. It's there's a fail on a valve.
So this
needs to be repaired. And it,
over and above the actual meter installation.
Right. Just an infrastructure cost, not a meter, water meter
cost.
Right, so we're tracking it separately because this would be a district cost. That,
so what's the total?
So far the total is just over $307,000.
What do we have in contingency?
Yeah,
what?
We're not done yet.
No, I know.
We got the hardwood.
We're pretty darn close to done. And the heaviest amount we saw was in the last pay period. So phase 7 was where we had the most failed valves.
So let me ask this though, what were we spending a year with JW going and make these? What did we spend last year?
That was my question.
It was anything from $400,000 to $500,000.
Well,
how much?
That's
anywhere from $400,000 to $500,000. We're spending four water.
We're being proactive in those repairs at this point.
But that's not to the one. That's failure of the main lines.
No, not necessarily. That's failure of the manholes and these angles.
But in some cases it is, though, right?
Some cases are.
I mean, when I lived on Beaver, they were down there every 6 months tearing the street up.
Oh, yeah, that was bad.
It could be the surface line, it could be the main line, it could be the valve, it could be right after the homeowner service.
Most of them were the angle stops.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So anyway.
So the angle stops are just a weak link, kind of, because they, especially when they were done with galvanized fittings, where your underground pipe, we mostly have on our service lines. Is it copper? Or most of your service lines in this area from here. Last night I had one happen to be 4 or 5 feet in the property.
So it's still in the soil. You're able to dig out. Okay. And a lot of, I'm sorry.
When you say a pinch, it's kind of similar to your garden hose.
That's right. Yeah. The angle meter stops, a lot of the failed angle meter stops, are they associated with galvanized fittings?
Some areas where they put a most 1-inch fittings, 1-inch curve stop, have an 1.25-inch opening here, threads that you put in. Somebody put in, galvanized.
Right.
So that rusted right into that. So now you can take that galvanized out without replacing that. And in order to do that, shut down the street.
Right. So if you ever wanted to go turn off a service and the valve's not working, you wouldn't be able to operate that part of that system. So it may or may not have been, some of it might have been leaks that may have occurred down the road. But it's essentially district infrastructure.
That's right. Yeah, whatever it is, we got to fix it. So I'm looking here, you got about 500 meters to still install, correct?
Yeah.
And if we use that same scenario, so it's about $50,000 additional cost at this point.
Yeah, I would say that's still, right, so that's still going to be a factor for the rest of the project.
You got 340 now, so we're at 400,000 roughly.
Right.
Get the whole thing done.
Let's get the whole thing done.
The other way to think of it is our second lowest bidder left on the $800,000 more right now than what JW's was. And so we would have probably had to do this $300,000 to $400,000 on top of that. See what I'm saying?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm not saying that the numbers, the numbers are the numbers.
Right.
It's difficult.
What's your point?
I have a tough time when you do time and material because the numbers.
No, I was going to say,
be that as it may, we're in the middle of it.
You know, I think that's actually one place where it's to our advantage at JW because they've done all these, they've done these repairs for us now for how many, 10, 12, 15 years?
Well, that's what I mean. They can, they can do it real quick, but.
Well, do they charge you that way?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, well, you have to believe that they're a long term.
Well, yeah, they're not going to gouge us.
Right. It's just trust. And John is out there all the time, and Carl is out there.
Right.
Because when they go back to the office.
Right. Before you forget, Bill, that the one of the streets, Windward Point, had quite a bit of our angle meters where we had to replace. Because they broke off. And I believe they have so many on that street, it's just a bad quality of that, a bad batch of them, that product failure on that. So normally we would never have that unless we physically went out one by one and shut that down. The benefit I think we're receiving outside of those is we're replacing them out in the rest of the community. I highly doubt we're going to see very many leaks in the next few years.
In the future, correct.
We're working on a water repair in the golf course right now?
What's that?
Is there a water repair going on at the golf course right now?
Yes.
Okay. So next door, water off, golf course.
Furware.
Huh?
Furware, I hope.
Yes.
Doesn't say where.
Okay, so.
So I just want to point out.
The update, the good news you wanted to give us was it's only $350,000. And maybe another $50,000 to get it done.
Yeah, that's
thank
the
you very news. Much.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I did want to just give you a comparative in terms of time and material real quick, because when we set out on this and we started to understand by talking to the district that there could be a lot of these, but it was hard to determine how many.
Right.
We said, well, let's get a quote to do those so that we don't have to deal with the time and material aspect, because that's more work for an inspector to document that time. But I will say that the inspectors are documenting that time, and in terms of the work that they're doing, I mean, They're not running from site to site, but they're definitely always working throughout the project, right? And the amount that they bill is the amount that they have. So that's definitely verified. But the quotes that they gave us, because that's not something they could easily define, right? How long is it going to take to get the main shut off, to flush out the line, to pump out the hole, to make the repair, to then turn it back on and flush it out? So they estimated, they gave us a couple of costs. They said the lowest cost would be $1,500 or $1,700, and that was if we did 10 at a time. They said if we do 10 at a time, they could safely say it'll cost $1,700
per unit.
And if we did one at a time, it would be like $2,200.
So So the T&M's working out cheaper than what their bid was.
Based on what they quoted us way back at the beginning of the project.
Of course, there are variables that they had to build into.
Exactly.
It,
it wasn't right. Something yet. So.
Okay, well, I think you've got to throw up.
I just wanted to give you that perspective.
So we've done
we'll have to bring that up to the troops.
Well, I mentioned that to Justin. I said, you know, you need to, we need to have a presentation in front of the board that explains and gets it out in the public.
Same thing here, but the thumbnail version of it.
Right. Okay. Just explains right. That there has been infrastructure repairs. It's not cost overruns to the water project. They're infrastructure repairs that need to be done anyway in a proactive way. That's the way it should be described to the public.
Maybe we can do that at the same time that we have Greg do the Wayfair report.
So you're going to want Justin to do the presentation?
Yes.
So just whenever they can make it to the one of the meetings.
Well,
soon.
You want to be on at the next board meeting?
It would probably be better.
Okay.
And you can do that.
Yeah, whatever
board
meeting
you have.
Second.
Schedule a water meter installation project update along with Wayfair and report.
So we're on.
Yeah, and yeah.
And has because I haven't done one for the board yet. Has the board been getting any updates in terms of the water meter project?
Yes.
Okay.
Dean has been providing updates.
Okay.
Virgil's been providing updates.
Yeah, you just didn't have to be long involved.
No, I just wanted. Yeah, I'll talk to everybody beforehand just to make sure. Just
run your presentation, Bob.
Right. Just to get context of what the board may have already heard, so I don't have to.
Well, I think the biggest issue is numbers.
Yeah, bottom line.
Numbers. What's it cost and why did it rouse that?
Right.
And less than 3 minutes.
So not only do we, as Bill and I know, because we're in these meetings every month, the rest of the board doesn't know. We don't want the rest of the board going.
Yeah.
Right, at the end.
Yeah.
And we don't want some of those people in the audience that tend to want to analyze everything to go, well, you guys should know about it. Want to make sure it's clarified.
Well,
what's the water meter project? We're not running over budget on the water, or if we are, how much? But this is an additional cost. It's actually saving us money to do it at the same time because we're already there digging holes.
Right.
So it's actually
and it's a budget.
And it's a budget.
It's not. We're
is
not
it budget?
Pulling it out of reserves.
Is it budget? I don't think it's budget.
The infrastructure
yeah. No, $350,000 not budget.
Oh, that's.
We're gonna have to mention that.
Come up.
I know if I was in the meeting and I wasn't in this meeting, I'd be asking. And I think there's two other guys who may ask. I'm not talking to
you. It's not budgeted in the project.
It's not budgeted in the water meter project is what I mean.
Right.
It's not part of the water meter, but it's budgeted separate project.
That's
project.
Right.
It's
budgeted
separate.
Budget for general repairs. So we're going to go there first, that's where we
right. Part of that $400,000 we spent last year is where this money's coming from this year. We budgeted money for these infrastructure repairs.
All right.
So like I said, it's a budgeted item.
And we just put money away for infrastructure
right.
For these items. So yes, I guess you
can
say
okay.
Yes.
All right, well you guys shake the deck and file with the cards and make the presentation.
We will do that.
All right.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Great. And with that, future agenda items, I think we just talked about two of them. So we'll do that. Is there any other items we need to discuss, Virgil?
Did we, I don't recall, but my brain never saved me a lot. We want to look at replacing the water main on the steakhouse at the Peru pool. And we've had a few breaks on that. We put in the CIP to replace that, because I really believe that's going to break one more time, and it's going to cause us a problem.
We brought it up at the committee meetings a couple of times.
Well, why don't we bring it in? You got that kind of a feeling about it. We need to bring it to the surface.
Yeah, I think we ought to replace that puppy.
Get it as
600 or 700 feet, but I think it's all that we need to do.
All right, well, staff handle that part.
Okay.
Bring it back. We want to try to eliminate as many emergencies as we can.
Plan. I don't want it to wash out the Union Boulevard.
Exactly. Projects are much better than emergencies.
Okay. It's an infrastructure.